Okay, let's unpack this. You've asked us to take a deep dive into the astonishing world of rare comic books. And let me tell you, this isn't just about nostalgia anymore.
Not at all.
We're talking about a market where a single comic book can fetch millions of dollars. It's serious business and, frankly, a bit mind-blowing when you first hear about it.
Oh, absolutely. And what's truly fascinating here is just the sheer scale of this market's explosion.
Right.
Our sources reveal a global comic book resale market valued at, get this, around $25 billion already.
$25 billion.
And experts are predicting it to swell to like a mammoth $50 billion by 2032.
That's huge growth.
It is. And this transformation isn't just happening in some, niche collector's corner. It's become a cultural phenomenon.
Okay.
And it's heavily spurred on by the booming Marvel and DC movie franchises, which are really driving appreciation to new heights.
So if you're like me, you're probably wondering, what is it about these colorful pages that makes them command such incredible sums?
Yeah, how does that happen?
How does a piece of paper, often decades old, become a multi-million-dollar asset? Today, we're going to explore sort of the magic formula behind these eye-popping prices. And we'll look at some of the most surprising sales on record to see those factors in action.
Sounds good.
You might be thinking, how do they decide a comic is worth that much? Is it completely arbitrary?
Right, like pulling numbers out of a hat.
Exactly. But our research shows it's anything but. There's this fascinating alchemy, really, that turns an old comic into a gold mine.
It really is.
Let's dig into these big factors because understanding them is, I think, key to grasping this whole market.
You're absolutely right. It's a specific set of criteria, not just random chance. Our sources point to primarily five main drivers that dictate a comic's value on the secondary market.
Okay, five factors.
Yeah. First up, we have early issues. These are often the most valuable because they represent the very genesis of a character or a series.
The beginning.
Exactly. Think about it. Owning issue number one is like holding the founding document of an entire fictional universe.
That's a good way to put it.
And there's a compelling statistic that highlights this. Five of the top six highest value comic books of all time are issue number one.
Five out of six. Okay, that tells you something.
It really does. It shows just how much collectors prize those foundational pieces.
That makes sense. It's like owning the first edition of a classic novel, maybe.
Precisely. But it also leads us right into the second factor, first appearances.
Ah,
This is
wow.
about the moment an iconic character like Superman or Spider-Man first steps onto the page. These are very much prized
Because
comics.
it's their debut.
Right. They mark a character's genesis, their very first introduction to the world. It's, a historical moment captured in print, almost like a birth certificate for a cultural icon.
Yeah.
That emotional connection to that first glimpse is really powerful for collectors.
So being first is critical, first issue, first appearance.
Yeah.
But is it just about being old and introducing someone? What about, like, how many copies actually exist?
And that brings us neatly to the third driver, rarity. This is fairly straightforward, but absolutely crucial.
Supply and demand.
Pretty much, comics with limited print runs or maybe unique cover variations become incredibly sought after. If there aren't many copies out there and demand is high, the price naturally goes up.
Makes sense.
And this isn't unique to comics, of course. Scarcity drives value in many other collectibles and luxury goods, pushing collectors to fork out incredible sums. It's pure supply and demand, just intensified by passion.
And I imagine if it's rare, you really, really want it to be in pristine condition, right? I've heard stories about like a single crease making a huge difference in price.
Oh, condition is paramount. Absolutely the fourth critical factor. A comic's state of preservation is, well, it's everything.
Everything.
Pretty much at the high end. Independent services like Certified Guarantee Company or CGC, they're the undisputed gold standard for appraising condition.
CGC, okay.
Yeah.
Heard of them.
Right. They meticulously grade comics on a scale out of 10. CGC began this back in 2000, and they really established trust and protected both buyers and sellers by providing this unbiased, universally accepted standard of quality.
So everyone agrees on the grade.
Largely, yes. And it's a slight crease, a worn edge, even a faded color. It can mean hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars difference in value.
Wow.
Collectors are definitely willing to pay a massive premium for a comic that looks like it just came off the newsstand, even if it's, 80 years old.
So it's not just the comic itself, but the story around it, like how well it survived.
Yeah.
What's the final piece of this puzzle then? The fifth factor.
The final factor our sources point to is historical significance.
Okay, how so?
Well, comics released around moments of cultural or historical importance often see their value rise on the secondary market. Think about comics from wartime, for instance.
Right, reflecting the times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not just that they capture the zeitgeist, that defining spirit or mood of a period. It's that these comics become tangible anchors to our collective past.
Like owning a piece of history.
Precisely. They allow you to own a piece of a historical moment, to literally hold a reflection of how the world was thinking or feeling at a pivotal time. That emotional and historical connection, combined with the other factors we talked about, rarity, condition, first, it truly amplifies their value. They become cultural artifacts as much as entertainment.
Okay, this is great context.
Okay.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, I think.
Let's talk examples.
Yes. Our sources list the top-selling comics, and each one seems to have a story that just brings these factors, rarity, condition, history, to life. Let's look at some of the most iconic and valuable comic books ever sold as of 2025 and truly see these factors in action.
Yeah, this is where you see the theory meet reality.
You'll understand why these sales are more than just transactions. They're like historical events in themselves.
Absolutely. Okay, coming in at number one as of 2025 is a copy of Superman #1 from 1939.
The big one.
The big one. This isn't just a comic. It's a foundational piece of pop culture history. It sold in 2022 in a private sale for an astonishing $5.3
million. $5.3
million?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It features Superman's original story, his adoption by the Kent family, the basics. And this particular copy was CGC graded an impressive 8.0.
Which is near mint, right, for something from 1939.
Exactly. Near mint condition for its age. But what makes this copy even more legendary is its name, the Edgar Churchmile High Copy, after two of its previous owners.
It has a name.
The famous ones often do. One owner, Edgar Church, apparently bought it for just $100 back in 1952.
$100? That's unbelievable ROI.
Isn't it? This one perfectly showcases the power of an early issue, number one, a first appearance in his own title, and exceptional condition, plus that amazing provenance.
$5.3 million. That's just wild. And for Superman, the ultimate icon, I guess it makes perfect sense in this market. What's next on the list? What's number two?
Okay, just behind Superman with a $3.6 million sale back in 2021 is Amazing Fantasy #15, published in 1962.
Spider-Man.
You got it. Featuring the first appearance of Spider-Man, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, legends themselves.
Of course.
It tells the origin story of Peter Parker, you know, bitten by a radioactive spider, gaining his powers. This issue, a pristine CGC 9.6.
A 9.6, that's incredibly high.
It's near perfect. It launched a character that would become a global sensation, a phenomenon only reinforced by its movie success, starting way back in 2002 with Tobey Maguire.
Right.
So here, again, we see the immense value placed on a character's first appearance, especially one that resonates so deeply across generations and different platforms like movies.
So origin stories are clearly huge drivers. But you mentioned Superman #1. What about Superman's actual debut before he even got his own title? Wasn't that earlier?
Ah, astute observation. Yes, before Superman got his own title, he famously debuted in Action Comics #1 in 1938.
Okay.
And a copy of that sold for $3.55 million in 2022.
Almost as much as his own #1.
Exactly. This issue is considered foundational to the entire superhero genre. I mean, it arguably started it.
The bedrock.
Right. And this particular copy has a fun story. It's known as the Rocket Copy.
A Rocket Copy.
Because apparently, a 13-year-old boy who bought it off a newsstand 80 years ago stamped a small rocket ship imprint on the front cover.
No way. A kid stamp.
Yeah. And it's still remarkably good for its age, graded CGC FN 6.0, which means fine to near mint.
Even with the stamp.
Even with the stamp. It just goes to show how a comic's unique provenance, its detailed history, its ownership story can add significant value and a unique narrative, even with a little imperfection like a kid's rocket stamp.
A rocket stamp. Who would have thought a kid's doodle would become part of a multi-million dollar story? That's incredible. It adds character, I guess.
It really does. It makes it unique. Okay, next up, for $3.1 million in 2022, we have Captain America Comics #1 from 1941.
Ah, the famous one punching Hitler.
That's the one. Featuring the patriotic hero famously punching Hitler right in the face on the cover. This cover was incredibly fitting, obviously, given the context of World War II.
Huge historical significance.
Absolutely. And there's an interesting anecdote here, too. The owner apparently bought it for $915,000 in 2019.
Okay, still a lot of money.
Right, but then they took a gamble during the pandemic surge in demand for collectibles, put it up for auction, and it paid off big time with this record $3.1 million sale.
Wow, that's more than tripling your money in just 3 years.
Exactly. That's a massive jump in value, highlighting how market sentiment, timing, and that powerful historical significance can align for huge returns.
That's a staggering profit margin in just a few years. But for someone hearing this, it almost sounds like pure speculation, you know, like playing the lottery. Is there a way to understand the predictable elements that drive such rapid appreciation? Or is it always a high-stakes gamble like that owner took with Captain America?
That's an excellent question. And while there's always some element of market timing and maybe luck, the predictable elements really come back to those core factors we discussed.
The checklist.
Kind of, yeah. Is it a rare early issue? Is it in fantastic condition? Does it feature a beloved character? Is it tied to a significant cultural moment? Captain America #1 ticked all those boxes. The pandemic simply amplified the existing demand for those kinds of blue chip items. The underlying value was already there because of its historical significance, its rarity, the iconic cover. It wasn't really a gamble on a random comic, but more of a calculated risk on a top-tier collectible during a hot market.
That makes a lot more sense. It wasn't random. The fundamentals were strong. Now, let's switch gears maybe to Marvel for a moment. We've done Spidey Cap.
Sure. A truly unique piece from the early Marvel era, well, Timely Comics back then, technically that sold for $2.42 million in 2022, is Marvel Comics number 1 from 1939.
Marvel Comics, #1. Okay. What's special about this one?
This particular copy is known as a pay copy.
A pay copy.
Yes, because it contains handwritten notes from the publisher at the time, Lloyd Jacquette, to the artist detailing their royalties, like how much they're getting paid for their work.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Notes on the actual comic.
Right inside. This adds a truly unique historical element, you know? It shows the financial side of comic creation, gives a rare glimpse behind the scenes of those very early days of what became Marvel. It makes it a one-of-a-kind artifact beyond just the comic itself.
Fascinating, seeing the business side written right on the page. Okay, and what about the Caped Crusader? We can't talk iconic comics without mentioning Batman.
Absolutely not. And when we talk Batman, our sources highlight two significant examples, actually. First, an early Batman #1 from 1940, certified CGC 9.4.
Another high grade.
Very high. That fetched a staggering $2.2 million in 2021. That just showcases the enduring appeal of the character's early issues and, again, that remarkable condition.
Okay, Batman #1, big money. What's the other one?
The other one is really interesting. It's another copy of Batman #1, but this one's from 1963, so not his absolute first appearance, obviously.
Much later.
But it sold for $1.1 million in 2023. And the reason? It came with a custom-made provenance collection label. Fantast Collection Custom.
Fantast Collection.
Yes, this refers to its previous owner's secret, almost mythical, collection of 300,000 hidden books. There's even an upcoming documentary about it called Selling Superman.
300,000 books.
Wow. So this highlights how the narrative and the provenance around a comic, the story of where it came from, who owned it even for a later issue, can dramatically boost its value. It's not just the book, it's the legend attached.
Wow, so it's not just the inherent value, but the story of discovery and previous ownership that adds to the mystique and the price tag. That's a whole other layer to collecting.
It absolutely is. It adds that extra dimension. And speaking of iconic characters, let's dip into the Silver Age. That's generally comics from about 1956 to 1970.
Okay.
X-Men number 1 from 1963, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby again, sold for $807,300 in 2021.
X-Men #1. Still a huge number.
Definitely. This was a CGC 9.6 copy telling the origin story of these superpowered mutants led by Professor Charles Xavier. And this also raises an important question, I think, about the journey of intellectual property. Marvel Comics actually sold the film rights to X-Men to 20th Century Fox back in 1994.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Those rights were then acquired by Disney in 2019 when they bought Fox. So everyone's sort of anticipating big things for the X-Men's future. Now they're back under the Marvel Studios umbrella.
And that anticipation probably boosts the comic value.
It often does, yeah. Movie hype definitely fuels interest and value in the original source material, the comics.
Okay, so we've seen the past and present of this really fascinating comic book market, some incredible stories and prices. But what about the future? Where is this all heading?
Yeah, what's next?
Our sources offer some interesting insights into what might shape this global market beyond 2025. Will we see even more record-breaking sales? what new factors might come into play?
Well, the trends certainly suggest continued growth, maybe not at the frantic pace of the pandemic peak, but still upwards. Firstly, there's the increasing scope of the market, meaning the rise of internet marketplaces, online auctions, and just the globalization of culture means the comic book market is becoming more and more international.
Right, buyers everywhere now.
Exactly. More demand from a wider pool of collectors, people eager to invest in these cultural touchstones. Well, that will naturally translate to higher prices for the really coveted issues. It's no longer just a US or UK hobby. It's truly global.
So, more global demand for what's already established. But what about new blood? Like new creators, new ways of publishing? Will we see a shift there that could impact future values?
That's a great point, and something the sources touch on. There are definitely shifts happening in distribution models.
Oh, so?
We're seeing a growing trend towards direct-to-consumer publishing.
Yeah.
You know, artists cutting out the traditional intermediaries, printing their own limited edition comics, maybe selling them directly online or at conventions.
Okay, independent creators.
Right. And while some of these might become highly prized by collectors in the future, maybe due to their scarcity, their unique artistic vision, tapping into that rarity factor we talked about,
yeah,
experts generally predict they will struggle to unseat the current titans, like Superman #1 or Amazing Fantasy #15 from the absolute top spots on the value charts.
Why is that? Just too much history with the big names?
Pretty much. The established history, the broad cultural ubiquity built up over decades, the multi-generational appeal of classic heroes like Superman, Spider-Man, Batman. That's incredibly hard to replicate overnight.
So we're saying the established heroes will likely always dominate the very top end.
Yeah.
But what about the argument that a completely new, culturally resonant indie comic, maybe from a viral online artist, could disrupt that hierarchy eventually? Could cultural ubiquity evolve beyond just movie tie-ins?
That's an important counter perspective, absolutely. And it's true that a truly innovative indie comic could gain significant value, especially among, say, a younger generation of collectors building their own canon. It might create its own kind of market.
Mm.
But the multi-million dollar sales we've been discussing, those are driven by decades of established cultural impact, massive brand recognition, and frankly, a proven track record as a relatively safe, high-value investment within the collectibles world.
The new class of asset, almost.
Kind of, yeah. While new comics can be culturally resonant, they often lack that long-term historical significance and the widely recognized scarcity that classic comics have accumulated over, you know, 60, 70, 80 years.
Right.
So while new opportunities are always emerging and some indie books will definitely become valuable, the sources suggest that known quantities will continue to rise. Familiar faces like Superman and Spider-Man, Batman, they'll likely continue to dominate any highest valued comic book list for the foreseeable future.
And the movie connection keeps reinforcing that.
Definitely. Comics that have been successfully adapted into movies or major streaming shows, transforming characters into global household names, those will almost certainly continue to perform exceptionally well on the secondary market. The screen adaptations really cement their place in popular culture, which drives demand right back to the original art.
So it seems like the big names will stay big, probably getting bigger, for now at least. But new opportunities are always emerging, especially with that global reach and the increasing accessibility for independent creators. It's a truly dynamic and evolving space, isn't it?
It really is. And this deep dive, I think, shows us that comic books are far more than just stories we read as kids.
Perhaps more.
They're significant pieces of art, they're cultural touchstones reflecting different eras, and for many, they're serious, highly valuable investments. Whether you're just a casual collector digging through boxes or a serious investor looking at market trends, the stories behind these sales are truly amazing. It's this unique blend of nostalgia, historical significance, art, and pure market economics.
Well said. So what does this all mean for you listening right now? As this market continues its incredible growth trajectory, maybe hitting that $50 billion mark, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Mm.
What hidden gems might be lurking in attics or garage sales right now? Or maybe what limited runs being published today by some unknown artist might become the next multi-million dollar first appearances or pay copies of tomorrow? Looking back at everything we've uncovered, what stands out to you as the most surprising detail or maybe the most compelling reason behind these astronomical valuations we've dug into in this deep dive?